In this week's Parsha, Parshas Vayeshev, we begin to hear about the beginning of the troubles between Yosef and his brothers. There are two approaches that we find that Mefarshim take to this story. One is the approach of many Mefarshim, and they look at the story of Yosef and his brothers, and they show how what we think is really a big sin is really a small sin, and it's magnified because Yosef and his brothers are tzaddikim. So they explain the details and discuss why it's not such a big deal. The second approach is the one of the Tzen Arena. The events of this parsha, according to the Tzen Arena, are written without sugarcoating or explanation. There's no couching of terms. Yet throughout, Yosef and his brothers are still called tzaddikim. How do we reconcile the fact that the Tzen Arena describes the sin as very great and also calls the brothers tzaddikim? I think we need to understand the goal of the Tzen Arena in this parsha. It's not to prove that the Shvatim sinned, that they were human, that they're just like us, but that we should learn a lesson from what HaKadosh Baruch Hu writes in the Torah. To make sure we get that lesson clearly, it describes the Averus in blunt and harsh terms so that we can understand it on our own level. The Parsha starts with one of my favorite pieces, quoted from Rabbeinu Bachaye in the Tzen Arena, because I'd heard it before, but I never knew the source. It is teaching us what it means to be a tzaddik. The Parsha begins, Vayeshev Yaakov Be'eretz Mugreya Aviv, and Yaakov lived in the lands where his fathers lived. The word ger means to be a temporary visitor. Yitzchak lived there in Eretz Israel his whole life. How could we think that he was just passing through that it would use this word, ger, a stranger? The answer brought by the Tzen Arena is mashal. Let's say you have a stranger come to town. He has no family, no relatives, he owns no land, he has no possessions. He's going to be moving along soon. Would he start to accumulate possessions? Or would he start planning his meals for the road? Would he go to the local grocery store or would he go to a furniture shop? What is he going to put his focus on? You may be familiar with this mashal, as I was told the story that it was told about the Chafetz Chaim. A person once came to his home and saw how sparsely furnished it was, and so the visitor asked the Chafetz Chaim, "Where are all your things?" And the Chafetz Chaim said, "Where are all your things?" And when the visitor said, "I'm just passing through," the Chafetz Chaim said, "I'm also just passing through." And the Chafetz Chaim shared the Tzen Arena's answer with his visitor. A tzaddik views his life as a journey where he's just passing through. He needs to collect provisions for the day of his death, which is his end goal, his end destination. Only his Torah and mitzvot will travel with him to the end, so he has no need to get bogged down with stuff. This is the perfect intro to this confusing parsha. Yosef and all the Shvatim were tzaddikim, with an eye toward Olam Haba, and doing what Hashem wants. As we explore the confusing ideas in the parsha, the Tzen Arena keeps using the word tzaddik, which can remind us that this is the mindset through which the parsha is happening, and it will keep our focus on what we can learn to help us prepare for our own true journey. The parsha begins by telling us about Yosef and that he was a na'ar, a young lad. He had been raised by Bilhah, the maid of Rachel, and so he spent time with her sons. He saw no reason not to associate with him. He didn't yet realize the social norms of status, which comes with age, and with a lack of awareness of his position as a child of Rachel, Yaakov's primary wife, in contrast to the children of the shifchos of the maids, Bilhah and Zilpah. The children of Leah, the other Shvatim, did not associate with the children of Bilhah and Zilpah, considering them of a lower class, but Yosef HaTzadik stuck with them. The psukim continue with what started the events. Yosef brought Diba Samra, the evil reports about his brothers, to his father. The Tzen Arena, quoting Rashi, clarifies what Yosef said. It uses the word vayavo dibasam, and he brought their reports. Yosef brought reports that were truthful to Yaakov. There is another episode where this word diba is used, and in that context, people spoke badly, but with the meraglim when that phrase is used, it says vayotziu, they brought out the bad reports. The Meraglim, the spies, invented rumors and they spoke innuendo that was completely fabricated, and they told falsehoods to accomplish their goal of making the Jewish people not want to go into the land of Israel. This is not the case with Yosef. He only brought reports to his father that he thought were 100% true. As we will see, even reports that are true are problematic. What were the bad reports? So there were three. It tells us that the brothers were eating animals without shechita. He didn't know that Yosef didn't know that the animal was a fetus from a shechted cow, from a slaughtered cow, and it didn't need to be slaughtered. He ran to his father when he saw this, and he made a mistake because of what he didn't see and what he didn't hear, and because of his assumptions. He told his father it was Aver Minachai and Avera from the time of Noach. This next thing he heard, the second thing, is he heard the sons of Leah calling Bilhah and Zilpah's children the sons of maidservants, and Yosef thought it was wrong and insulting to call them this, even though that's what they were. It wasn't being said as an insult, only as information. Again, there was an assumption as to the motivation which caused the brothers to say these words, and that caused Yosef to share bad reports that Yosef thought were true. Third, Yosef saw his brothers doing a lot of business with women and engaged in conversation, and he assumed they were romantically involved because why else would they be talking so much? He never saw them doing anything wrong, but he assumed and jumped to these conclusions. Because Yosef jumped to conclusions, he was punished in kind. He said that his brothers ate from Avram and Achai, and when his brothers sold him, they slaughtered an animal and dipped his coat, his special coat from his father, in blood. Because he told his father that his brothers were called the children of Bilhah and Zilpah, the sons of maids, Yosef himself was actually sold as a slave. And finally, because he suspected his brothers that they were involved with non-Jewish women, the wife of Potiphar set her eyes on Yosef to sin with him. The lesson from the beginning of the parsha is clearly how detrimental Lashon Hara, evil reports, is, and how the consequences harm everyone involved, the speaker, Yosef, the listener, Yaakov, and the one being talked about, the Shvatim. No one walks away from this parsha without a tremendous amount of praying that lasted generation. Not Yaakov, not Yosef, or the brothers. What would have helped to prevent this rechilas, these bad reports? Before jumping to conclusions, Yosef could have judged favorably, knowing that his brothers were good people, that they were tzaddikim, as is required by the halacha. He could have done more investigation. The key is not that just that it was Lashon Hara, but that he didn't get the facts, and he assumed the worst of people who had a good track record. The Chafetz Chaim says, as a matter of Jewish law, instead of making a report to a relative, Yosef should have talked to the person themselves first. Have the hard conversation with the person who you suspect yourself, rather than trying to pass it along to a relative to have that conversation for you. When we read this story, we're left with a question. If Yosef was defending the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, how come they sold him too? All 10 brothers were involved. Later in the story, we see that Reuben wasn't there, and he was against the sale. Binyamin wasn't there. Yosef isn't selling himself, so that leaves 9 brothers. If the 4 brothers, the sons of the Shifchos, of the maidservants, were on Yosef's side, those brothers would outnumber the brothers, the sons of Leah, 6-5. So how could the sale go through? We understand the sons of Leah hating Yosef. The pasuk says Yisrael loved Yosef. They assumed that he was maneuvering them out, and Yaakov was believing the rumors, and so of course now he loved Yosef. But why B'nai Zilpah and B'nai Bilhah? The answer that Sanarena brings is B'nai Bilhah and B'nai Zilpah hated Yosef because he spoke against the sons of Leah. I thought that the sons of Leah were too elite to hang out with them. So Yosef defended them. He respected them. Why did this cause them to want to sell him? The answer is the key to understanding Machlokas and Lashon Hara. When I see someone else acting poorly, even if they're treating me well right now, I always know that they can't be trusted. B'nai Bilhah and B'nai Zilpah did not appreciate Yosef's behavior. Rabbeinu Bichai gives another explanation. This wasn't just a problem that Yosef spoke against B'nai Leah, that he defended them. B'nai Leah were the primary targets. But some of the accusations were also lodged against the B'nai Shefachos, against the maids, against the children of Bilhah and Zilpah. And so even though Yosef rose to their defense at times, it was not enough to spare them when he had to accuse them as well. So they hated him as well. If we're making reports and speaking against somebody is not done properly, then the initial people who are trying to protect also become the victims. Rechilas has a power. Gossip has a power. When I badmouth someone to another person, we now feel connected in our judgment, and we both become distant from the other person. The relationship is based on negativity. So is this what's happening in the parasha? Does Yosef and Yaakov become connected because of their shared animosity toward the sons to the other brothers? The pasuk tells us this is not what drove the relationship between Yosef and Yaakov. Yaakov loved Yosef for an entirely different reason. He loved him, the pasuk says, because he was his ben zakunim. In this case, zakunim comes from the root of zakein, zesha kana chachma. Yosef was a Talmud Chacham, he was a Torah scholar, so that was the reason why Yaakov loved Yosef. But that's not what the brothers saw. They saw that Yaakov loved Yosef more than them. And in the words of the Tzenarena, this was very painful to them, and they got upset. The Toldos Yitzchak tells us to put on our brakes. Could the Shvatim Hor Tzadikim, the Yesodei Olam, the foundation of the world, really have been so petty? The answer he gives is that the hatred had a basis. Yosef brought reports of evil every single day, and so then they assumed that Yaakov loved Yosef more because of this gossip. Once again, the assumptions this time as to assuming that they understood why Yaakov loved Yosef more, even though they didn't truly know it, was what caused the next part of the story. And these assumptions about what Yaakov's intentions were and where Yaakov's source of his love was caused terrible consequences for everybody involved. The next part of the parsha is driven from another force at work that we have to be conscious about throughout this story. At the Bris Bein HaBasarim, Hashem tells Avraham that his children would be slaves in Mitzrayim for 400 years. How would Hashem manage to get Avram's children down to Mitzrayim when they know that they're going to become slaves? If I know that in the end something's going to be bad, they're going to try to avoid Mitzrayim at all costs. The next part of the parsha is how Hashem is orchestrating all the events to get Bnei Yisrael down to Mitzrayim. So how does this happen? First, Yaakov buys Yosef a special coat that's more expensive than anything else that the other brothers own. And this inflames the jealousy and hatred further. Chazal take a lesson from here that we shouldn't treat one child better than the other, because doing so tears apart a family. And what does this Ketonis Pasim do? The word Pasim stands for Paro, Socher, Merchants, Yishme'elim, and Minyanim, the four messengers through whom Yosef was brought down to Mitzrayim and sold. This coat was a cause that made things go from bad to worse. The brothers see this change in the relationship between Yaakov and Yosef, and then they can't speak to him anymore. Rashi says that the brothers are tzaddikim, and the behavior was appropriate. If I hate someone, I don't want to be two-faced and backstabbing them. If I hate them, I need to not talk to them so I don't put on a show, just like Esav put on a show that he loved Yaakov, and Lavan put on a show that he showed Yaakov. And those, in the end, they both tried to kill him. Here the Shvatim act with integrity, and they don't want to talk to Yosef. Yosef has a dream, and he goes to tell his brothers his dream. In his dream, they're gathering bundles, and Yosef tells the brothers that his sheaf of grain gets up and stands on its own will, and then the brothers' bundles surround him like servants around a master, and then all these bundles bow down to Yosef. Initially, they didn't want to bow, but then their bundles kept getting smaller and smaller until they bowed. The dream had significance, hinting to the events in Mitzrayim, that the grain of the brothers in Eretz Yisrael are going to get smaller and they're going to rot until the brothers are forced to bow down to Yosef, not knowing who he was in order to get grain. The brothers were not happy with this dream, and they say, "Will you rule over us that we will need to ask you for food?" This statement of the brothers was said sarcastically, but it was really part of Hashem's plan. By the brothers interpreting the dream in this way, they were enabling the dream to be actualized. Rabbeinu Bachai writes that even though the brothers hated Yosef, Hashem is causing events that they interpreted the dream in a positive way for Yosef, that he will be king over them. The brothers continue to hate him because of his dreams, and the brothers hate him more and more until he tells them another dream. And he tells this dream to his brothers that he saw the moon, the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowing down to Yosef himself. And this time, his father gets upset and gives him mussar in front of his brothers, hoping that everything will cool off. The story continues that Yaakov worries about the Shvatim as they're near Shechem, and he is nervous about them because Shechem, they killed out Shechem, and so Yaakov is nervous that the people of the land are going to rise up and kill the brothers. Yaakov asks Yosef to look out for the brothers, and Yosef agrees to go, even though he knows the risks since his brothers hate him. He knew it was dangerous, but he would never refuse his father and not do the mitzvah of Kibbutz of Aim. The Pasuk says that Yosef goes Derech HaEmek, which literally means by way of the deep. This word is a hint that something more is going on. On the surface, we see family drama and tension and discord. We need to look at this deeper. This is all actually a plan of Hashem. There was a deep plan that Hashem had revealed to Avraham at the Bris Bein HaBasarim that his children would go into Galus. How could Hashem get them there? It is unfolding right now. Yosef is going Derech HaEmek by way of this deep, deep plan of Hashem. As Yosef is searching for his brothers, he's wandering the field, and a man, who the Tzenar Rena says is the Malach Gavriel, approaches Yosef and offers to help him. Isn't that curious? If you're lost, you go ask directions from a local. Here, a local is asking Yosef who he is looking for. Clearly, it's part of the plan to get Yosef down to Mitzrayim. Yosef knows that this is the Malach as he asks, "Where are my brothers?" without saying, "Did you see 10 tall shepherds that look like my brothers?" "Yeah. Where'd they go?" Instead, Yosef knows this is a Malach, and the Malach is helping to get him where he needs to go. This is all happening so that the end result of the brothers going down to Mitzrayim can happen. The Malach's response is strange. He says that they have traveled from here. The Malach is warning Yosef that the brothers have removed themselves from being a brother to you, and I am warning you, don't go to them. Yosef wouldn't hear about this and wanted to do the mitzvah of Kibbutz of Aim. Yaakov had escorted Yosef only to Shechem, so his protection of the mitzvah of Kibbutz of Aim only lasted till then. Yosef traveled much longer than Yaakov originally intended. And all of this, according to the Tzenar Rena, was part of Hashem's plan to remove the protection of Yaakov from Yosef so that Yosef would get down to Mitzrayim and Yaakov would be forced to go after him. Eventually, the Shvatim see him. They send dogs to try to kill Yosef, but he's not touched. They plan to kill him, and Reuben convinces them not to kill Yosef by seeming like he's on their side. He says that if we become murderers, Hashem will punish us. Better to keep our hands clean. So let's put him into a pit and we'll decide what to do later. This tactic works, and Yosef is put into a pit. The Pasuk says that Yosef was put into a pit that was empty. Rashi says that it is empty of water, but had scorpions in it. Scorpions are an animal that causes sure death. So how could Reuven, or the brothers who didn't want to kill Yosef, put Yosef in this pit if he wanted to save them? Additionally, if there are snakes and scorpions in the pit, and the brothers know about this, then the fact that Yosef survived those snakes and scorpions is miraculous. If the brothers knew that Yosef merited a miracle, they would then understand that Hashem is on his side. So how could they put him in a pit with snakes and scorpions and then sell him off to down to Egypt? The answer of the Tzinnarena is that the brothers put Yosef in a pit that seemed completely empty. The snakes and scorpions were hiding in the holes of the walls. Only Yosef knew about them. The brothers didn't know about them because they would never have put him in that pit that spelled definite death. And they didn't see the scorpions, which would have told them that Yosef was a tzaddik. So they could put him into the pit and then sit down to eat. And this was all part of the plan from Hashem that Yosef should end up being sold. And so it happened that a group of Yishmaelim carrying spices came to transport him down to Mitzrayim. This was not the regular load of Yishmaelim. They generally carried smelly tar and kerosene, but now their load had a beautiful smell. Even as Hashem is taking the Jewish people to Mitzrayim, it was going to be done with as much love and care as possible, not to hurt Yosef or the brothers more than was exactly needed. The brothers heard the caravan passing and decided amongst themselves to sell Yosef to this group before Reuven returns. The Tzinnarena said that they thought to themselves that they knew the children of Avraham needed to be slaves in Egypt. Maybe, just maybe, Yosef would be the slave and they would all prevent themselves from having to endure slavery in Egypt. Their actions trying to get Yosef to suffer slavery instead of themselves is actually what led to the fruition of Hashem's plan that they should all go down to Mitzrayim. We can never outsmart the Hashgacha, the plan of Hashem. And so the brothers sold Yosef and he passed through the hands of the different series of merchants, and now we are ready for the children of Avram Avinu to be in Mitzrayim. There are two main lessons from the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev. First is that assumptions and jumping to conclusions about why a person is doing something leads to much pain, gossip, and machlokas and conflict. We can never know what or why a person is doing something. The brothers didn't know why Yaakov loved Yosef more. Yosef assumed the worst about his brothers and didn't talk to them about it directly. We all know now that rechilus and lashon hara is a terrible thing. We have books, we have movies, we know it's terrible, but it's so hard to stop. So how can we stop it? The first is to start by judging favorably, and the second thing that we can do is to stop making assumptions and stop jumping to conclusions. The second lesson of the parsha is that Hashem has a plan for each one of us and for the nation as a whole, and we may not realize it. We may try to outsmart it, but it's going to happen. This idea is very important, and it's also comforting, because no matter what, we can try to do our best, but at the end of the day, Hashem's plan will come to fruition no matter how hard we try to do differently. Have a good Shabbos.